Hello, everyone, and welcome to some more Big Brother Canada 10 post-season coverage for Rob as a Podcast. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am speaking with the great Summer from Big Brother Canada 10, one of our many jurors here for the season. She was such a delight on the show. So entertaining, so funny. I was very excited to talk with Summer, show her some of the sound clips, and talk through her game and get a sense of where she's at now. So, that's what we'll do here. We will talk to Summer. I do have to say, in the beginning here, I apologize with the connection was a little rocky at times. And it really, really, we really lost it at the end. So, the ending of the interview is, a little bit shaky in terms of connection, but, hopefully we've patched some of those bits out, by the time this goes up, It's a very good one. The connection was fine for most of it, so hopefully you enjoy, and see you on the other side.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for inviting me back. It's nice to get to talk to you alone. I really like being with Gino and Marty, but yeah. It's all good.
How have things been?
I'm still a little overwhelmed, but I've been doing pretty well. I am going to Jamaica soon, so I'm excited for that.
Very cool. I mean, are you like, have you like gotten, I assume you haven't had a chance to like get back to real life yet.
No, not really. Yeah. I don't think moving forward is going to be real life at all.
Yeah, there you go.
A fan base now. There are people who are talking to me who I've never spoken to in my life. So I think the person who entered the BBCan doors died, and the person who left died as well. So this is a whole new reality for me, and I'm living for it.
A whole new summer.
Yes.
All right. Well, are you ready to just jump right in?
Yes, let's do it.
All right.
Oh wait, I forgot to ask. How are you? Sorry. Where are my manners?
I'm doing well. Let me tell you, this season put me to work because you guys were nonstop with the. I have some sound clips that I'm going to show you. Let you listen to. So this was the announcer in one of the episodes.
And will someone finally please just stick to their plan?
We were a mess. There was like 33 alliances in that house. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. So it's definitely been a lot, but it was very exciting. It was a very good season. So, I'm excited to, you know, to wrap up the coverage with these interviews. And then I'll take a short break before Big Brother US starts again.
Yes. Back to work.
Yep. But it's been fun. So you got on the show. You said in your pregame interviews that you auditioned for the show to spite a coworker, infamously. Yeah. How is that gone? What's the status on that?
Well, my other coworkers are asking me if they can tell me who I'm referring to. They all say they have an idea, but I said I'll tell them in person. The old coworker who I was referring to, they were blocked 3 years ago when I first auditioned for the show. So I have no idea, but I assume they watched the show because Big Brother is one of their favorite television shows. So they definitely saw me. Big shout out to them. They motivated me and I was persistent. I said, you know what? I tried 3 years ago, didn't get on. I tried again, didn't get on. And then third time's the charm and I got on. So I was like, hey, thank you.
Are they fuming right now? How do you think they're feeling?
You know, I don't know. I think they might be fuming because I'm under the impression that all my other coworkers are, you know, tripping them or saying like, hey, do you think this you are the reason why she's on the show? So yeah, I think they may be in their feelings a little bit, but I'll never have an idea because they are blocked.
So what was your history with the show? Did you know about the show before this coworker? Like how did you know the show?
I knew a little bit about Big Brother. Big Brother USA used to just play in the background whenever I'd go to visit my dad. And I can't remember what season it was. Sorry. Thanks. Herman is calling me. And he just declined that. Sorry for that interruption there.
No worries.
Okay. Yeah. So it would always play in the background. And I don't know if it was BB Can 15, where it was just a problematic year where people were referring to other house guests as, the N-word. The house guests were using the N-word. They're very transphobic, homophobic. So
I mean, really, most Big Brother US seasons in that range.
Yeah. But I can't remember which season it was, but
15 was one of the first big controversial ones for sure. For the US.
So I think that's the season that I'm thinking of. So I thought to myself, oh my God, this show is a mess. I don't know what this is. Oh, Lord. And then fast forward to what? 2018, 2019. I got into a little bit of a war with one of my coworkers, even though I wasn't the one who started it. But I said, hey, you know what? HR has not resolved this issue. And I'm a little bit of a petty person. I was a lot more petty back then. So I said, hey, if you're going to take it to HR, I'm going to take it to national television.
You're going to take it to Big Brother.
We're going to take it to Big Brother. So I overheard them talking about The Bachelor, Survivor, and Big Brother. And I said, oh, let me just go look online while I was at work and see if there's any casting calls. And then Big Brother was actually having an open casting call. So I said, hey, let me book my bus ticket. I don't drive. Let me book my bus ticket down to Toronto and go to this open casting call. I had no idea what Big Brother was about. Like I said, it was always playing in the background. I watched one episode and I was like, oh my God, this show is boring. This sucks. And I just made up a bunch of crap during my audition. I didn't get to the second round. And then the casting producer was asking me about strategy. And that's when, you know, she caught on to me that I wasn't a fan at all. She was asking me questions like, how are you going to get information from the other side? I was like, I'm just going to ask. Or they also said, how are you going to memorize the days? What's your strategy for that? And I just straight up said, I'm going to write it down. Like, whoa, I was just thinking this girl is insane. I don't understand. And then she basically told me that, you know what? You do have a great personality, but you should probably watch the show. And I decided to watch the show. I fell in love with it, but I still thought, you know, still kind of boring. I just watched a couple of episodes again. And then when I auditioned again, they said, you need to actually watch the show. Watch episodes. Do not come in here and audition for the show and then call it a boring show. You need to watch the show, fall in love with it, learn it, and then come back to us. And then I did fall in love with it. I probably should have dived deeper into the show. But I just said, hey, I like it. These are the house guests that I like. You need me on the show. So, hey, put me on. And here I am.
Did you ever get into the live feeds at all? Did you ever look at any of that?
I would watch some of the live feeds, but mostly the ones that were focused on the fights, like Spicy D's fight with the whole entire house. Yeah. I love watching that. But I wasn't much of a live feeder. I think I did refer to myself as a super fan, but now that I'm reflecting back, I'm not a super fan. I'm just a fan. I like the show. But I wasn't a live feeder. I wasn't somebody who, you know, who would indulge in podcasts like your own. I didn't do any of that. I just would just live for the Ike moments, live for the Gary moments, and then call it a day and go on with my life.
There you go. So speaking of the live feeds, we don't have the live feeds for the first week of the game. So there's a lot of, you know, week one stuff that we are very much missing. So can you just tell me about like your experience getting into the game and what happened in that first week?
Okay, to begin, as soon as I entered those red doors, I wanted to self-evict. I never said that out loud, but there were already some interesting things that were going on in the house that weren't sitting well with me, some interesting personalities that took me a while to get used to. I would say as well that a lot of us were really focused on the optics of how certain dynamics would look to the rest of Canada. Mm-hmm. So, for example, even with the rooming situation, we're saying, you know, hey, we all want to group together. But then we also stood back and said, like, oh, my goodness, all the people of color are in one room. What's going on? And then we decided to just switch around. So I think that's a big thing that the live theaters missed in the first week, is that we were so focused on how our dynamic would look to the rest of Canada instead of allowing the social experiment to be authentic. So, yeah, I would just say that we were really just focused on making it look like we are diverse, and we were, but at the same time, there were still some tendencies that were missed in the first week.
Yeah, well, there were a few alliances that that were created. First the Honey Bunch.
Yes, which I did not want to be a part of.
But you made it, didn't you?
No, JC Lynn was the one who made it. There were quite a few alliances that I did not want to be a part of. Oh, actually, let me just mention this. Summer Sales took the game cards from a lot of people, but Big Brother did not want to show that. I started a lot of the game talks, and I still have yet to watch a lot of the episodes, but some of my haters were under the impression that I was just playing house, when in reality, I started a lot of game talks with people like Kevin, mm-hmm. Moose, Tanisha, and a few others. And that was just unfortunate that people did not get to see that. But I did start the convo. A lot of people were just focused on small talk. And I said, hey, we're in this room together. Like, we're playing a game. I don't care about your favorite color anymore. Like, let's get to talking, people.
I think that was one of your biggest strengths early on in the game, is that you were somebody that was getting around and talking game with a lot of people. And you know, for a while there at the start of the game, we were like, look, Summer's maybe in the best spot. Look at Summer. She's in a really good position. It didn't last, unfortunately, forever, but you were doing well for a while there. So Honey Bunch, the Savage Seven, how in were you with the Savage Seven?
I was getting weird vibes from Kyle. And as soon as I heard that he was part of the Savage Seven Alliance, I wanted to drop that as well. But again, this is my first time playing the game. I'm a rookie, and I did not know how to say no, to people. And I, you know, going into the game, I just wanted to be in an alliance with five people that I wanted to ride out with until the end. And I was getting so many offers, and I really wanted to say no to a lot of them, but I didn't know if it would be bad for my game or if it would be sketchy if I just said, hey, JC Lynn, I'm already getting weird vibes from you too. I don't want to be a part of this Honey Bunch. Herman, I don't know how I feel about everyone in the Savage Seven. I'm not too sure, but I'm open to the idea with working with you. So, yeah, I wasn't invested in any of them because I was really focused on trying to see which variable worked best for me. And then once I found the group that I liked, I wanted to ride it out to the end. So the Rebel Rejects, which was destroyed by Herman, was really the one that I wanted to invest myself in. And I, because he knew about it, I wasn't sure if I should just pick up with the same people without him.
Yeah. Well, this is something that I remember people talking about, that that one of the things that people were saying early on about you is that, like, we like Summer, But she keeps saying that our alliance has an expiry date.
Oh, I'm problematic. Said that. I don't know. I think I said that only for my own self, to protect myself. Mm-hmm. Coming into that game, I had gone through a lot. I had, you know, lost some people in my life. So I said, hey, protect your heart. Mm-hmm. Let the people know in advance that you may be going home. This may break apart. But yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be realistic with myself. And I knew that lying is a part of some people's strategy in Big Brother, but I tried to be as honest as I could. I'm a decent liar, to be honest with you. And I think that I'm quite easy to read. So I just wanted to keep it as real as possible with people. And if I stop liking you, you think I'm going to be in an alliance with you? Probably not. I know, you know, I've been in situations where I have to deal with coworkers who I don't like. But if I don't like you, I'm just going to let you know right away, hey, I'm not for this alliance anymore. So, yeah, I just wanted to let people know, just have that expectation, have that thought in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
I'm not going to blindside you.
I think one of my favorite things that happened, it seemed to happen with you a lot, is that like there were so many alliances made in the game that like every once in a while, especially like the Honey Bunch, it would be like, hey, remember the Honey Bunch? Remember, like, let's
yes.
Or like, hey, remember, like, Smarty,
yes.
Gay.
Yes.
Siblings, game, right?
Yes. Towards the end of the game, so many people were saying, like, let's have a 2.0. Are we going to do this again? Yeah. Can we do this? And after a while, I said, oh my gosh, I'm done with rebranding. Hopefully, my personal relationship will get me far in the game, but I'm just over it. Because everything that I try to create just gets destroyed. So I lost hope for alliances in my game.
So what was like, if you could pick one alliance, what was like the alliance you, the Rebel Rejects, obviously. You also had the Mandams.
Yes, the Mandams.
And that had Helena in it.
Yeah.
Which, then Helena told Kevin about it, which was, whoops. And then the siblings, and yeah, what am I missing any now?
Should I name them all? It was the Honey Bunch, mm-hmm. The Savage Seven, the True Few. What else?
Rebel Rejects,
Mandems, Sumardi. There was something called Something, where it was Tanisha and I.
Okay.
And there was one more. I was in 8. I just can't remember the last one. Rebel Rejects. Did I say that?
We said Rebel Rejects.
Okay. I'm missing one more, but I did have 8.
I think we had it at some point. I think at some point, okay, we've named, yeah, them all, right?
There was quite a few. There's a lot to juggle because I would forget who I was in an alliance with. There's times where I'm thinking, oh, can I talk to this person about this? Oh, probably not. I don't know if I'm in an alliance with them. Maybe not. I have no idea. It was a mess. Never again.
Yeah.
Well, if I go bad.
So that first week, Kevin is up on the block at the end of the week up against Melina. Was there any thought in your head? I mean, so you had a good relationship with Kevin. When did that really develop?
Yes. I think that it developed on day one. As soon as Kevin started to walk down the doors. Well, I'm saying walk down the doors. My bad. As soon as Kevin started to walk down the stairs, I made eye contact with him. And the first thing I said was, this man is a schemer. But he has this aura about him that I like. I want to get to know him. And Kevin was supposed to be a part of Summer's Army as well. I think that was another thing that was missed in the live feeds as well as the episode. We had a talk in the pantry, Kevin, myself, and Josh, about forming either a big army or a small army, but all three of us did want to work together. So I don't know what it was about Kevin. I don't know if it was because he was a schemer or if it was because he was from Toronto or... You know, I just liked his energy, but it was just something about him that I liked. And he also made me laugh. We had some funny moments in the house. And yeah, he was just hilarious. Also, I like that Kevin would say things like, I'm good at nothing. I ran a 10K and I couldn't walk for 3 days. It was just funny the way that he would articulate himself and the way that he would describe himself. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was, but I liked him a lot.
He'd say things like,
I'm just like pure vanilla ice cream in a large.
Yes.
But then in the diary room, he's saying,
I would campaign against my own mother.
I knew Kevin would be somebody to say those kinds of things in the diary room. I had a feeling.
This was one of my favorite clips throughout the whole season.
I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy.
Hot mess.
So I assume there was never any real like consideration to vote Kevin out over Melina.
Oh no. Mm-hmm. Melina, she took 2 days off when she was in the house, and I mean, maybe I didn't have the strongest campaign, but I still checked in with people every day. I made sure, hey, are you still, you know, voting to keep me safe. I made my little side deals any chance that I could, but she took 2 days off. Anytime that she would come to talk to me, it would just be, you know, surface level conversation. She would just say, hey, are you good? Are you all right? That's it. And I didn't want to be the one to say, you know what, you're on the block, girl. Like, let's have a conversation. She was another person who I did talk game with early on in the game, day one. And I thought that we were going to form something strong with each other. But as soon as she was put on the block and I tried to talk a little bit of game on what we're going to do moving forward, she just shut the conversation down. So I said, hey, we're done now. And I'm just going to focus on Kevin. I would have loved to have her a part of the Mandams. But if you're going to shut me down as soon as I try to talk to you, regarding game, then
yeah,
I'm over it. I don't care.
Yeah.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Well, I think one of the first like early interactions we saw with you and Kevin that were fun on the live feeds, because we getting into week two, was after his interaction with Betty.
I do hate you. You told me I was a terrible person.
Yeah, and I meant that.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, so that didn't go super well with Betty.
Yeah, I remember him coming to me about that. And he would always say, I love Betty. I don't understand why she's upset with me.
Yeah. So that didn't go super well. But week two was, you know, I mean, it didn't go super well in the sense that, you know, Betty and Jay end up on the block together. They were two people that you had a pretty good relationship with.
Yes.
And it also was sort of like the start of like Marty feeling like, oh, there's something going on. There's something going on with them. He would say a lot that like when he put Betty on the block, he saw like Moose run to you guys like, oh, they were scrambling. Like, oh, they were worried. When in reality, you were just like...
Chill. Yeah, no, I heard through the grapevine that people thought that we were starting a Canadian cookout, the Canadian BBQ. I have no idea, but that wasn't a thing and it was annoying. And yeah, Marty thought a lot of things, to be honest with you. Even with Gino and Kyle, he would come and tell me and say, I know there's something going on. I could see things going on. And I would think, buddy, like, what the hell are you talking about? I don't see anything. Yeah, obviously they're working together, but
like, yeah.
Well, so are people not going to work together in this house?
Well, I think the theory was that there was a cookout-like structure happening that actually had Kyle at the top of it. And that it was like a six-person alliance and they each had like a person, right? And that Kyle was involved. From Kyle and Marty's perspective, they thought, or from Kyle's perspective, at least, I don't want to presume to know anything that was in Kyle's head, but, from Kyle's perspective, I think he was worried that within the Savage Seven, it was really like you, Herman, Tanisha, that were like a trio. And then he's worried about Moose because Moose kept like going, he was worried that Moose was in the middle. And then he was worried that you guys like had like Betty and Josh, and stuff. Right. So, I think that, that's sort of like where, and part of that too, was that again, like Helena had told Kevin about, the Mandems. And so he was like able to plant some seeds to Marty, like, hey, some of these women are working together. Summer and Tanisha, they're kind of in a good spot right now. And then Marty kind of took that and ran with it. Things start to spiral a little bit here for the Savage Seven. And then by the time Kyle wins the HOH, quite a mess. I have this clip from you.
All I'm thinking is, Kyle, you are a 23-year-old boy and you are a mess, a hot mess.
Oh, I love it.
Fantastic. You had some of my favorite clips throughout the season. So Kyle's the HOH and it's not great for your game, but at the same time, like, you're able to pretty much get through it. Obviously the end result is pretty much fine. Moose's game gets blown up. Because he gives an award-winning performance.
Oh my gosh. What Moose is doing, this is an award-winning performance.
And so he's very threatened and he needs to... I believe you were in this conversation when he did this one.
My degree is not in English.
Oh, yeah.
Business, sport, media.
That was nonsense. The fact that he even said that line, I was so confused. I didn't even care. Sports media, English, who knows? I don't care. I would have never put the two together, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. If one person said they had the same major, all right, okay. Kyle was interesting, to say the least.
Yes, but you get through the week pretty much fine, especially considering the fact that the house ends up flipping on Kyle. And this is when the Rebel Rejects are starting to sort of like, you know, think about like, okay, maybe we can get some people together. And there's this interesting dynamic, particularly between like Kevin, Helena and Herman, where... both like all of them, like Herman is still pretending to be in with Kyle because he's worried that like if he doesn't, then Kyle's gonna turn on him and put him on the block or whatever. And Kevin and Helena are doing the same thing. They're pretending to be in with Kyle, but all of them are anti-Kyle at this point because he's lost his mind. But they don't trust each other. they don't trust that the other one is not actually still with Kyle. And so they're just like, I don't know if we really have Hermann. And Hermann's like, I don't think we really have Kevin or Helena. And so it's very difficult to get the Rebel Rejects together with the distrust here, right?
Yes. And I was trying to be the gatekeeper for both sides. I just said, hey, let's work together. And it didn't work. Hermann wasn't having it at all, which is unfortunate. I just thought, let's just move forward. We have a lot of game to play. I think that all of us working together would be a very strong dynamic, but it just did not happen. And like I said, after I told him, I had to lie to him and say, you know what, Hermann, thank you for having my back. You were right about Kevin. You know, he is a schemer. He is a liar. I can't trust him. Just so we'd forget about that. And again, I still wish that I formed something with Kevin and Helena.
Yeah.
There were moments when I saw them, you know, outside. I would go outside and then they would stop talking. And I said, okay, there's something going on between these two people, but I don't want to say anything, which I think was a downfall. One of the downfalls to my game was just I was just getting tired at a certain point.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wonder what would have happened if Hermann hadn't been included in the Rebel Rejects, right? Because I think that I think that it goes through, and if Kevin feels secure in a group at that point with these people, then like, you know, in the upcoming Jess HOH, it's like, okay, maybe now he'd still probably target Hermann. Hermann still probably wins the veto, but the backup target may not be Tanisha in that case. It might've been somebody else. Right. So,
yeah.
Interesting stuff. But
I wish I thought about these things while I was in the house, but it's different when you're actually playing.
Oh, yeah. And obviously, like, I don't think you have any reason to believe at this point that, like, Kevin is going to be the most important piece on the board to control, right?
No, not at all.
Kyle is all over the place here. This was another one of my I maybe cut this one off a little bit early. For comedic effect, but I really enjoyed this clip from you.
Kyle pooped on everyone.
Kyle pooped on everyone.
Yeah, you were saying everyone's game, but you know, I thought it was better the other way. Kyle was not doing super well. The following week, Gino gets the HOH, and everyone, including me, including most people in the house, were saying, no way Gino puts Kyle up, right? There's no way. Summer, you're like, nah, I'm gonna get him to put Kyle up. And we're like, ah, she's wasting her time. She's gonna get herself in trouble. And then
what happens?
You make it happen. Yes. I mean, this was, I think, like the true high point of your game in terms of just like your positioning, the influence that you were having. You truly, got Kyle out of there.
Yes. Thank you for that. Like I said, I'm trying to not pay attention to the haters, but for people to say I had zero influence, gotta be insane. Of course I had some influence in that game. Even when it came down to the nicknames, who started calling Kevin Cavante? Me. Who started calling Joshua Larone? Me. Who started calling Gino Stavros? Me. So yeah, the whole house is running with my terms. Even you're not slick. That started going around the house. Let's be real. Summer Sales had some influence. Okay. Maybe not towards the end of the game, but I did have some influence.
Yes. You get Kyle out of there. I mean, and like, how did you know that you were going to be able to get through to Gino? Because I think it's something that we learned about Gino eventually, is that like, he tends to fold, you know, if you press him hard enough, right? He will put his gummy bear in the bucket, right? Like, we'll get there.
That gummy bear.
But you clearly saw it, I think, before a lot of people. So I think that was another one of your strengths in the game, is that you were, you said that you're easy to read, but you are also very good at reading people. So where does that come from?
I'm not too sure. I did say, I don't know if it was, only aired on the live feeds, but I did mention that I do have a brother who is autistic and he is nonverbal for the most part. And through having someone like that in my life, I was able to pick up on a lot of nonverbal cues. So I think that was an asset for me in the game. But you know, I'm also a smooth talker as well. I know how to get into people's heads. And I just think me telling Gino, I'm going to vote for a fly over you if you don't put up Kyle, might have got him, because he definitely wanted to win the game. He came in there with the mindset that he wanted to win. So just hearing something like that, or, reminding him that everyone in this house cannot stand Kyle. For as long as Kyle is in this house, you will be going on the block beside him. Really got to him. And I know that he didn't want to go on the block beside Kyle every single time. So just put that into his brain and just remind him that, hey, if you're trying to win this, your family's been telling you, keep your eyes on the prize. You need to get out, Kyle. So you should be the one to do it because he's your friend. If not, somebody else will force you to do it by being up against him.
Yeah. So you get Kyle out. And from there, things start to get a little trickier because that's when Jess wins the HOH. And that's when Kevin really starts to take a lot of influence. Kevin also was sort of like, you know, obviously aligned with you, but also aware that you were a very good player, and starts to Summer hasn't touched the block, you know.
Yeah, he would always mention that nonsense. Sometimes he would come to me in the washroom and say, you know, Summer, a lot of people don't see the game that you're playing, but I see it, and then walk away. And all I think to myself is, buddy, I'm going to like smack you. What's going on? Don't say things like that.
Yeah. But one big part of your game that Herman especially took issue with was throwing competitions.
Yes, I'm gonna lie about that.
What was the idea with the throwing the competitions?
Okay. Prior to coming onto the show, I binge watched a lot of BB Kent episodes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people who, went very far in the game through competition. So I said, hey, I would love for that to be part of my strategy. A big part of Big Brother is self-preservation. So I said, hey, if I don't need to exert myself a lot in the game early on, then I'm down for it. I mean, I won't lie, I am kind of lazy at times. So I said, hey, if I can be true to myself and still, allow myself to be kind of lazy, that's great. But also, as you know, I was aligned with the whole goddamn house. So I couldn't even put my all into the competitions, because if I were to win HOH, what were my options? Stephanie, you need three options. And there aren't three Stephanies in the house. So, yeah, I was in a position where I just couldn't give it my all. I will say, taking that half card, I did not mean to do that. I didn't mean to do that. I just thought, you know what? Gino, he is a strong player. I know how he studies. He's going to get a perfect score. And then when he got the question wrong, the one that was about the warp bowling, I was so pissed with myself. I was going to ask my brother, like, hey, can I just throw this out? I don't want it. Let's go to the tiebreaker. I wish I knew how to gauge when I need to switch gears and start giving it my all in the competitions, because that's something that I didn't know. You know, I didn't know when to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that I was still feeling very comfortable in the house, which was the mistake. I always told myself, you need to always have one foot outside of the house so that you're not comfortable. And both feet were in for whatever reason.
Yeah. There was something else that distracted you as well. When the former house guests, came for the, behind the doors.
Someone embarrassed me.
I was not paying attention to what was going on. I was paying attention to what was going on, if you know what I'm saying.
And
my heart said false, but my body said true.
A mess.
Do you have a chance to meet anyone
There's
interesting?
Still a lot of, yes, I was saying that I did get to meet Jetson. He is even finer without plexiglass in front of him. But at the same time, I didn't want to talk to him because all I could think was, yo, messed up my game, buddy. You messed up my game with those eyes. And
well, hey, he messed his own game up too. So like, you're kind of...
Oh my God, yes. We're on the same boat.
Yeah.
Probably why we like each other.
I think I saw, has he entered the DMs? I think I saw that on Twitter.
He entered the DMs. He, asked me a question when I was doing my little Q&A session on IG. He wanted to know when I'm going to make myself available for him, but we'll see where things go. I plan to be booked and busy.
It's the way to do it. Yes. All right. So, so unfortunately on Jess's HOH, you lose to Nisha, the siblings. Yes. Doesn't work. And this happens in a blind side as well. One that is of course orchestrated by Kevin. How are you feeling in that moment? It's the first real blind side, I think, for you, in the game. Like what's the reaction?
I was shocked. It didn't make any sense to me, to be honest with you, because Jess didn't have anybody on their side. As much as they like to think that Kyle, even though Kyle was gone by that time, as much as they like to think that Marty had their back, Kyle had their back, Kevin had their back, it wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. What was being said behind their back was a whole other thing, but he didn't realize that. And they're always saying that they were on this island, when in reality, you know, there were people who didn't mind being on the island with you, but you didn't care for us because you had this idea that it was a trio between Tanisha, Betty, and myself, and you were just added in for shits. And I don't know why they thought that we can maintain a strong game relationship afterwards when they knew that Tanisha and I were very close. So it was nonsense for me, and they put a bigger target on their back. They knew that Tanisha was well loved in that house, and it was very bad for their game to do that, because we saw in the chain of safety, no one kept you safe at all, not even Marty, and you listened to Marty only for Marty to not have your back.
Yeah.
Or Kevin.
Yeah, and this is actually, Kevin said this during their HOH.
I'm Jess's number one. Jess is not my number one, but this week I'm certainly pretending, and I'm going to be up there in the HOH room pulling the strings.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, the unfortunate part about that whole situation is the fact that I fed Jess information very early on in the game, way before Kevin, way before Marty, and they still didn't see value in me the way that I might have wanted them to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, even with Herman placing the blame on them for the rogue vote for Betty, I even told them I think that it was Herman. But again, they didn't care. Even where the votes were going in the beginning of the game, I told them. I was the only one who told them. And small things like that didn't really matter to them in the long run for whatever reason. And I don't know why.
Yeah. And you eventually get into an argument with Marty about something that Jess said. And it went something like this.
Lying. Jess was lying. Jess was lying. Jess was lying. And you're going to look. Oh, shit. I'm kind of gassy. Jess was lying. Yes. As I was talking, I was farting. I don't even know why.
I forgot that was part of that clip.
I had the nervous farts. I had the nervous farts for whatever reason. It was so embarrassing. And I was wondering, is my mic picking up on these farts?
Sometimes it does. You know, sometimes, yes. sometimes it just happens.
I don't know if it made it onto the live feeds or onto the episode, but I said, you know what, Marty? You gave me the closest thing to an orgasm in that house. So thank you for that release. I needed that. I needed to just go like, good.
Winter came out. Yeah.
Winter came out. She defrosted.
So you lose Tanisha. The safety chain double eviction happens right after. Moose wins the bowling thing. And he gets to kick off the chain, which means, your whole crew, essentially, everyone that you're tight with is good. You end up, the last person, of the people that voted to keep Tanisha, and you have to choose one of the people who just voted Tanisha out, to be safe. And you choose Kevin. I assume this is, you just felt like you had the best relationship with Kevin at that point.
Yes. Also, in that moment, the only person that was looking at me was Kevin. So he was the only one who looked at me. So I said, hey, you're looking at me. You think that I'll keep you safe? You got it. And I picked him. Everyone else was just looking off to the distance. No one was saying, please pick me. So I said, hey, Kevin, you got it, because you're giving me the eyes. You're giving me the looks. You're giving me the please help me eyes. So I said, hey, I got you, Kevin. I got you.
There you go. Sometimes that's all it takes.
Yes.
So Gino and Jess end up on the block together. And this is when we get the big, like, very nearly the vote flips against Gino, because Betty and Josh are in the Expedia room, and then they're talking about, like, maybe we should flip the vote. Kevin's already tried with Marty, and Marty's already turned him down once, but then they get Kevin, and he's like, oh, you know, okay, we've got Betty and Josh. Well, maybe now we can get Marty. And Kevin is the one giving the thumbs up in the room. He's like, let's do this. Let's do this. And then Betty, sees Marty on the other couch, and she thinks he's like, oh, I don't know. And she said, he's not going to go through with it. So she tells Kevin and Josh, like, we can't do it. We're not going to do it. But Marty and Helena still think the plan is on, and they end up voting for Gino to leave. And then Marty is like, oh no, they tricked me. I believe you said, afterward, like, hey, if you had just included, if you talked to me, like, maybe we could have made something happen. If they had gone to you, would you have been down for it?
So, Joshua did come to me, earlier, even before that conversation. And he said, don't you think that, we're playing Herman's and Moose's game? And I said, yeah, I actually do feel that. But Jess was still a big question mark for me at that time. And you know, your girl is petty. So I said, Jess must leave, because she got my girl out. I wasn't really thinking about how Jess might have still been beneficial for my game at the time. And, you know, I was saying that, hey, you should have talked to me again, and maybe I would have followed through with voting out Gino. But at the same time, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think that it would have been a good look for me to keep Jess around. So, yeah, they probably should have talked to me, but I probably would have never followed through with it, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. we'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Well, Marty wins the next HOH, and he wants revenge, is what he says on Betty and Josh, because again, Kevin's able to be like, no, it was totally them. They were doing it, not me. And this is when he puts Betty and Josh on the block. But Kevin wins the veto. And yes. He really wanted again, and he talks about this in his final two speech. He really wanted other people to feel like they owned the moves that he made. And so in particular with this veto, he was trying to convince Marty that like Marty convinced him to do it. He was trying to convince you that you convinced him to do it. What was your thought process with Kevin's veto?
I was fine with it. I know it sounds bad, but I really didn't want to win the veto. Coming into it, I said, yes, I do want to use it and take either Josh or Betty off of the block. But at the same time, I knew that Herman would be harassing me at the same time. And that would have been, that would have put me in a very bad position if I didn't use it on people that I was close with. Or if I did decide to use it and Herman would have gone on the block at the hands of me, then it would have been an issue with Moose. So I was just, yeah, I was happy for Kevin. And knowing that he was going to take Joshua off of the block was fine with me. Whether it felt like it was me who convinced him or not, I was fine with it. I just didn't know that Herman was going to be the replacement. I kind of had an idea, but at the same time, I thought Marty would just take the final shot at Gino and just get rid of him because Gino is going to be coming for you, Marty. So you need to get rid of Gino. I didn't want to push for that. Kevin told me not to push for that. But yeah, he definitely... He gave me good advice, though, to just go and have a chat with Marty and just make sure that you're not the replacement, because I could have easily been the replacement if he had decided to. If Kevin had told me not to have a conversation with Marty, I could have easily been the replacement nominee. So, yeah. How do I feel about that? To answer your question, I was fine with it. Yeah. I was fine with it, to be honest with you.
So Herman goes up and he really, really starts laying it on thick, with you afterward because he needs your vote. And it seemed like he had it for a second there. And you end up telling Betty that like, I don't know. She was not super happy about that. Tell me about this sort of back and forth.
So I would say that the downside of having such strong personal relationships with almost everyone in the house is that people really felt like they didn't have to campaign to me. I know a lot of people were coming from my campaigning, but to be honest with you, even people like Kevin, when he was on the block, he really just said, hey, we're close. Do I have your vote? Even when Josh was on the block, he said, it's you and I to the end. It was just one sentence. Herman felt like he didn't have to campaign to me. Betty felt like she didn't have to campaign to me. Moose said, hey, just vote for your girl. You know, no one really campaigned to me at all. And that was a downside, as I said, because of my personal relationships. People just felt like they didn't need to do that. So then when I did say, hey, I do want to I want to get some points. I want to know why you're good for my game. That put a strain on both my relationship with Betty and Herman. I actually did want to keep Herman, but at the end of the day, he did not have the votes to stay. And I made a deal with Marty. And we all know Marty's a comp beast, and I did not want his ass coming from me. So I just decided, hey, let me just follow through with this. Yes, Herman is making good points. I thought about being the one rogue vote and just blame it on Moose, but I didn't feel like doing it. But to be honest with you, something told me that if you do keep Betty in this game, she will go a lot farther than you. She's not going to be able to protect you the same way that Herman will be able to protect you. It's obvious that Josh and Betty are in a duo. I don't have anything really going on. I'm an independent player in this game, and I'm going to need somebody by my side to have, you know, just a bit of a kind of a path to get to the end. And it didn't happen. And I just decided to, I guess, play somebody else's game at that point. But for the most part, I ended up voting to evict Herman solely because he did not have the votes to stay. But really and truly, I did want him to stay. Something in my heart said you need to keep him around, but I didn't have the people to back mm-hmm. it up.
Yeah. There was some flirtation happening there as well. Is that ever going to go anywhere, or was that just hanging out?
Only the Lord knows. Now that the cameras are off, I could be as private as I want to be.
Very true.
So we'll see.
So Betty and Josh end up making a deal with Gino and Jace that week.
Yes, yeah. I learned about it in the jury house.
And that means that when Gino wins the HOH next week, it's just you and Moose left that they don't have deals with. And so the two of you go up on the block. But the plan is to backdoor Marty, at least at first. And then they kind of change their minds after Helena wins the veto. And Kevin and Helena both kind of go to work and be like, you shouldn't backdoor Marty. It's a big target. You don't, after Marty leaves, you're the big target. And so even though Jace gets the secret veto, she ends up not using it. Now, Kevin and Helena use this next week, the week after, with you and Betty and Josh, and they pretend like there was never a plan to backdoor Marty. The plan was to backdoor Josh if the veto was used. And they're able to use the fact that Jace had the secret veto to, as evidence, right? It's very, very cleverly disguised lie there.
Yes, yes. Yeah, all I was thinking to myself when they were telling me this was, you guys planned this out. I find it interesting that you're now telling me this. The spidey senses were tingling. I reaffirmed with myself that these people are definitely working together. There's a duo going on, but I didn't want to say anything. I don't know what was going on with me towards the end of the game. I think my spirit was just done with everything and everyone because I felt like being a schemer. I felt like stirring the pot. I felt like telling JC Lynn. I felt like, you know, starting to group, I felt like I needed to start grouping myself with other players in the house. So I have an alliance towards the end of the game. But I just said, you know what? This is turning into a goddamn shit show. I am over it. I am over it.
Yeah. And this is also, of course, the week prior. This is your first time on the block when Gino puts you up.
Broke my streak. What is that?
Yeah, this is also when you give me, I think, my favorite clip of yours.
You are dead to me. Dead!
Is he still dead to you?
Gino's not dead to me. I just don't know if he's allowed to talk to me. Because Gino is hashtag Tito Jackson with JC Lynn now. Take it to the outside, but I just call it Tito Jackson. So I don't know if he's allowed to talk to me. Who knows? Do I care? Meh, we'll see.
Boy.
Maybe I'll do a live with them and we can address everything.
Oh, boy, boy. That sounds interesting.
Yes.
All right. We get to the triple eviction and Josh wins because, I skipped the gummy bear incident. What am I thinking? Before the triple eviction, you're saved by Canada. That must have been awesome.
It was awesome, but at the same time, I was nervous about it. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know what that meant for me moving forward, how people are going to view me, because Kevin was already, you know, putting a highlight on me and my game. And with that, and him being a puppeteer, he could easily take that and run with it and start planting some seeds in the other house guests' minds. So I was happy because I was safe and I was no longer an option for Marty. But at the same time, I thought to myself, God damn, these people are going to vote me out. They probably think I'm going to have all the jury votes. I'm a popular person. She's threatening. It was good, but it was also bad for me.
Yeah. I think it was good for all of us because it led to the gummy bear incident.
Iconic.
What did you, when you heard this happened, how do you even comprehend that?
Helena was the one who told me, and as soon as she told me, all I could think to myself was, this is good TV. This is iconic. I thought it was idiotic, especially this late in the game. I don't know if he understood that $100,000 was on the line, and this amount of money could change people's lives. So I don't know why you're going to rely on a gummy bear to make a decision for yourself. And also, if you were to make it to the end, how are we supposed to respect you? You know, it was very bad for his game, him using a gummy to make that decision. But at the same time, as a fan of the show, I loved it. I was living for it. I was dying. And I was also happy as well because my boy Josh at the time now has an opportunity to stay. And we've been praying to our ancestors for them to give us a situation that would allow for both Betty and Joshua to stay. And we got it. We got it.
Yeah. The cost was high here. Yes. Yeah. Have you seen the clip of from the show of the gummy bear situation yet?
Yes, I saw them all. The clip of them all reaching into that little base and then taking it out and then opening it. And then Gino says, what do you say? Say ball?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then they do the five.
The
thing.
Five, yeah. And for Marty to, do that to Gino, it didn't really make any sense because he's still, I don't want to say kicking his feet up, but he's still upset with himself over what he's done to Gino. And that's the only form of betrayal that he is, that he cares about. He doesn't care about what he's done to other people. And for him to do that to him just didn't make any sense.
Look,
and
Summer, he's betrayed Gino four times. He will definitely not do it a fifth time. Okay.
I don't know. We'll see. Let's see on IG Live. He just throws Gino under the bus one more time.
Oh, boy. So we get to the triple eviction. And yes. Josh wins the HOH. And celebration
was
time.
Celebrating.
Yeah.
Girl was celebrating.
Oh, boy. You end up on the block. Obviously. You're pretty shocked. I would imagine you were expecting Helena would have been the person up on the block or Kevin, right?
Yeah, Helena or Kevin for sure. Just because, like I said, during his campaign, he said, you and I to the end, even on day one, He told me I was his number one. I reminded him of his best friend. He never really had to campaign to me. I never pressured him in any way to campaign to me. Anytime that he was on the block, I campaigned for him. I fought for him. So, yeah, it didn't make any sense. Also, Joshua talked heavily about his identity, and we would, you know, talk about our experiences in life and how our shell has played a significant role in society. And just for him to do that, to both Betty and I, just made me think to myself, okay, you don't really care about your own. And again, I don't want to be the one to throw out the race card, because it's not me, but if you're the one who's mentioning that, why would you take the first opportunity you can get to put two sisters on the block? It doesn't make any sense, especially when we blindly trusted you, we campaigned for you, and we've had your back. And you know what? I had no comp wins. You can easily beat me. I honestly thought, hey, if Betty and Joshua are in a duo together, I'm gonna stick by them. I jokingly said our name is the Black Brigade, or that we're the Pyramid. I didn't make an official name, but I said, hey, I just feel like maybe I can make it to the end. And if Joshua cuts me, you know, over Betty, then I'll be fine with it. That's where maybe Joshua would have my vote. That was the pathway that I saw. Obviously, I shouldn't aim so low to get third place, but at the same time, you know, I was unsure if another comp that I could win would come. And you know what? The letter shredding, that would have been my competition. Okay, I was waiting for a warp speech challenge, and you cut me just before it, and I think I would have won that, or have gone to the tiebreaker with Betty. But yeah, I think Josh bringing Betty and myself to the end would have been best for his game.
Oh, for sure.
And no one in the jury house liked what he did. Everyone said it didn't make any sense at all for him to do that.
Yeah, well, so this is what he said.
My loyalty definitely lies with the crash test dummies.
That's how he felt. Was there ever any hint? Because basically, I mean, I believe that alliance was formed on day 31. It was started. And so from, I mean, and he had been telling Kevin for a while, like you're my guy. You're the person I can talk to about strategy the most. Was there ever any hint that maybe he's not really with us, or was it really just like out of nowhere?
No, there were no hints. I think there was a time when Marty had mentioned that he saw them talking. Yeah. When Big Brother told us goodnight, house guests. But I didn't really think much of it. I just thought, hey, Joshua is playing a similar social game to myself. He's having strong personal relationships, but at the end of the day, the people that he is riding out for the most is myself and Betty. And I don't know how he didn't know that Helena and Kevin had something going on, and that he was just a puppet to win the cons for them. So that was strange for me.
Yeah, he didn't know. He was the crash test dummy.
Yes.
Yeah, that was...
Yes.
You end up going home, and really, even being on the block, it wouldn't have been you that left at that point if not for Jace winning that veto. At that point, you end up leaving in the triple, a casualty truly of the triple eviction. If it hadn't been a triple, it would have just been Marty that left. So definitely unlucky there. But you head to the jury. What's the mood with Marty and Gino heading into the jury?
I was all right, with Gino coming in. As for Marty, I wasn't too sure about how I was going to feel about having him in the jury house, because him as an HOH was very chaotic. So I wasn't looking forward to being in the jury house with him, especially without cameras. I know people say, hey, you're just there for TV, not like anybody else was there for TV as well. I mean, we're on a TV show for a reason. We're trying to get some attention. Mm-hmm. But it was just annoying, because if Marty and I were to get into a fight, Canada's not going to see it. Canada's not going to see it.
Goddamn. What's the point?
I have to keep things to myself. But yeah, I was excited to be in the house with Gino. Marty, not so much. He was okay. Of course, he has his battles like we all do. But yeah, the jury house was okay for me. There was a lot of chirping going on, and I'm not into chirping at all. And especially when I'm trying to decompress from the game and just, you know, accept that my game was taken from me and my journey in the house was taken from me by somebody who I was so close with. So it was just a lot. And I spent a lot of time just chilling to myself.
Yeah.
And trying to ignore people, because I kept telling everyone that competitions don't define me, and they all cared about competitions. But at the end of the day, I did better than all of those people who won far more competitions than me, with the exception of Martin, because we left together.
I think technically, like, if you think about it, like, since Marty was like the prime target and you were kind of like the secondary, you could say like you placed just above.
Thank you. And I'm happy to know that you realize as well, it's not just about winning competitions. There's so much more to Big Brother than meets the eyes. We only have two competitions per week. The rest of the game mm-hmm. is spent on strategizing and socializing.
And that's what's so cool about Kevin's win, right? Is that like that, I mean, he really has proven that, right? For the first time in a very long time, Kevin is the first winner since Dr. Will in 2001 to win the game without winning a single HOH. So it's been quite a long time, but you guys produced a non-comp winner.
Yes, and I wanted to be the one to change that narrative as well, that you do not need to win a million competitions to win Big Brother. And a lot of people who have done well have only won a competition towards the end. I think in the most recent seasons, for example, Tashawn, Paris as well. I'm not sure about Kevin Martin, but I think he started winning more so towards the end as well.
Yeah, I mean, he won like all of them at the end. But yeah, he started around final nine, final eight or so.
Yeah.
That's usually how it goes, right? You win those end game competitions. They're very powerful and they create a lot of momentum for you heading into the end. And I think that's kind of what Josh was banking on too. So that like, I'm winning all these comps. He won, four or five of the last five or six competitions he played in. Wasn't enough.
It didn't matter. Yeah. It didn't matter. He made too many final two deals early on in the game. A lot of people did not like the way that he sent me out. The fact that he used his number one as a pawn as well wasn't a good look. And then I guess for the jury members who were of color, we didn't like that he mentioned in his final speech that he's going to be the first queer, Black, and Indigenous person to win, if he does win. And we thought, okay, in that game, you didn't really care about that because the first opportunity that, the first time that you became the leader of the house, you took two shots at sisters. So we don't give a damn about that anymore. You can't pull that shit now. So don't even talk to us about that. I think him even mentioning his identity in his end speech was just useless. And most of us had our minds made up. As for the others, Marty, he's been targeting Joshua. So Joshua didn't have his vote. Marty loved Kevin. Gino also really liked Kevin. JC Lynn also really liked Kevin. So his best bet was with the other people. But he kind of screwed us all over. The only person that he had was Betty, and which was insane for me that she still voted for him. And he did her dirty. So.
Yeah. Because they were able to reconcile after the triple. She was mad at him for a little bit. And then they kind of like, he blamed Kevin for all of it. Did not tell her like the extent to which he was with Kevin. That did like, he like, she even asked him like, I'm not gonna like find out that you were like aligned with Kevin like the whole time. Right. He was like, oh no, of course not. And like, didn't know about the Tanisha, that he knew about the Tanisha vote, like any of that. Right. I believe she expected him to take her there too. Like, she was blindsided by him cutting her. So
he sure did. And watching that, it broke my heart. Her face. I don't even like watching that clip. It hurts me so much. And I don't know why Josh wasn't okay with potentially losing against his best friend. He would have still been in the same position had Betty won the game. So, yeah.
I think he really I think he thought it was a done deal against Kevin. So Kevin was just in his ear like, I definitely lose, obviously. And he was like, all right, this is what I got to do to win.
If only he got to hear our conversation in the jury house. It was an automatic, Joshua does not have my vote. As soon as I entered the jury house, Moose and Herman said, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Was there anybody that Josh could have sat next to that he would have gotten your vote against?
Marty. Just Marty and maybe Helena.
Okay, so yeah, let's say that because Betty was inclined to evict Kevin at the final four, and it was Josh that seemingly that was like, no, I'd prefer for Helena to go. But let's say that they do evict Kevin at the final four. Helena's in the final three. Josh does the same thing. He cuts Betty, takes Helena. How do you think the vote plays out at that point?
Josh has my vote. And I do think Josh would win. Coming into the jury house, Helena was stating that Joshua made sure that she was cut because he knew that she would win against him. But I had to let her know privately that everyone said that you wouldn't have their vote. So no, you aren't going to win. I don't know if Helena actually had anyone's vote at all. Yeah. Marty felt betrayed by her. I knew that she was talking shit about me. Herman knew that she was talking crap. Moose felt like she shed a lot of crocodile tears in the house. JC Lynn also felt betrayed by her, and so did Gino. No one was voting for her at all. So I don't think she stood a chance. If she didn't make it to the end, she would have placed second for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what about Josh versus Betty? Let's see, he takes Betty. I assume you're voting Betty, but yes. I've heard that it might have gone Josh. It might have been close.
Yes. So we all said that if Josh had taken Betty to the end, then Canada would have been the deciding vote.
Yeah, it's interesting. What about Kevin? What if Kevin had won that final HOH and he cut Josh, took Betty? Where does your vote fall?
I would say with Betty. Mm-hmm. I know that I may be an emotional player, but just hearing Betty's story and what she would use the money for, I obviously don't want to talk about her business, but that warmed my heart.
Business B.
Yeah, Business B. So what she would have used the money for, I resonated a lot with. So she would have had my vote, and I would have hoped that she had, won the money so she could assist the person that she wanted to assist.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's the jury. How was the after party stuff? Was it good?
So it was okay. I enjoyed the adventures that we got to partake in, like going underneath the falls. I don't even know what that activity that we did was called. It involved some climbing.
You did the zip-liney stuff and
yeah. But I'm an introvert, so I couldn't really do that much. It was also very strange for me to be talking to people that I'm used to seeing on TV. I had to touch some of the other house guests to make sure that it was real. And I think that I was having a bit of conflicting feelings towards some people there, because I knew there were some people talking shit. But they were also obsessed with me. I don't even remember her name. I didn't even know she was playing. She played on Big Brother 2 until later on. Season 1, Liza.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was talking so much shit on Twitter, but she was like following me around, asking me all these questions, saying how she's surprised that I'm so reserved and quiet. And I didn't really have much to say. I was going to say like, hey, you want to address what you had to say? You were obsessed by the way a 43-year-old man was yelling at me. That's strange for me. Or how you said I have no resume when I checked on Big Brother Wiki and you don't have a resume either.
Boy.
So, yeah, and I did better than you on the show. So I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I was happy to see the people that I wanted to see. But at the same time, it was also, you know, kind of fake with some people. So yeah. I didn't like that. But overall, it was just nice to be out of the house. It was nice to be free. And it was also nice to be able to talk to people who have gone through the same experience and they give you advice that makes sense. Because talking to other people who have never played Big Brother, it's just the conversation really doesn't go anywhere. They're talking to you and they're giving you advice from a viewer standpoint, and it's not helpful, and a lot of the time not the best understood, and there was a lot of people that I really enjoyed being in the presence. The experience was good, but you know, I guess in Big Brother fashion there was still some fake BS and some lying. But it's all good. I'm happy to have met the people that I did meet, like Ryan, Meta, Cindy, Godfrey, the legends, the icons. I couldn't believe that I was sitting in a room with these people. It was amazing.
Yeah. There's some great people. Get any All Star Alliance propositions?
No, I didn't even know people wanted to talk about All-Stars. I was over game talk at that point, to be honest with you. But there's definitely some people who I met and I thought to myself, you know what? If I do get to play with them, I would love to be aligned with them. I was thinking about telling Ryan that if we do get to play together, I would want to work with you. But I don't even know if I would want to play Big Brother again. A part of me does, but a part of me also does not want to be forever known as a house guest. Come on now. What's that? We're Summer Sales. We're not a house guest. We are the house.
There you go. So what's next? What are the plans?
So the goal is just to elevate myself. I don't know how. I am seeking some guidance from some people, but I'm just hoping something big. A part of the reason why I did say this won't be the last time you'll see me on TV, it was actually for myself. Now that I've had some momentum built up, I don't want to go back to my regular life. I don't want to go back to wireless sales. I know I said I was fun employed, but I was working as a wireless sales associate. I don't want to go back to that life. I want to continue on with my journey and just see how far I can go. I've already started to build my legacy and I want to continue to build it and make a name for myself beyond being a house guest. But I am, of course, grateful that Big Brother saw something in me and has given me a platform to grow and thrive from.
And I applaud that. And I think that I think that people should applaud that, because it's if especially if you didn't like your job before, of course you're going to want to do more TV stuff, especially if you enjoy it and like you have the personality for it. People can be so judgy sometimes. But if they were in this situation, they'd absolutely want to do the same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's wrong with me wanting to aim high?
Yeah.
Want to do well for myself. Anytime that Big Brother said, Summer, please go to the diary room, I lived for it. I was jumping for joy. A lot of people hated going to the diary room.
Attack of the Wi-Fi. We're almost done. We can get through it. Oh, we.
Oh, my dear.
I guess we should try. I guess we should try to wrap it up.
Okay. It was my. Nice talking to you. I could talk to you forever.
Yes.
You got me back on the show. I got you.
Yes, absolutely. If you end up watching, you know, future seasons, we can have you on for a recap. That'd be very fun. I also do another, like, just like a general interview show. If you've maybe like can come on again in a little bit and give an update on where things have gone for you.
Yeah, for sure. I'm down. I really enjoy speaking to you. You're nice.
Oh, thank you.
I would align myself with you if we were to play Big Brother.
What would our alliance name be?
We should be called the Bad Bitches. Better than the Honey Bunch.
Yeah.
More
the honey. All right, well, thank you so much for doing this with me, Summer.
Of course, thank you. Have a good one.
You too. And there you go, that was Summer. What a delight. She's so great. Very fun talking to Summer. Hopefully you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. And that's we're gonna have more coming to you. I'm in contact with some more of the jurors here, as well as, of course, Kevin. We'll hopefully be talking to him soon, and we'll get some more of these interviews out for you, as well as, of course, the wrap up roundtable, which will come eventually to talk through the season as a whole, to finish up our postseason coverage of Big Brother Canada 10. Of course, check out all the other Survivor coverage that's happening right now. The Circle is going on right now. Check it all out. Thank you all so much for joining me. Check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, or on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. And see y'all next time.